We have already given a brief introduction to the Sacrament of Penance, also known as Confession or Reconciliation, in the episode on the sacraments in general. Christ, who could heal sickness and possession and forgive sin merely by willing it, willed rather to do so by means of words and physical signs. And in instituting the sacraments, he willed that this method of our sanctification might continue in his church. His death won redemption for us all, but this sanctifying power needs to be received by each one of us individually. There are several explicit verses in the Gospels which indicate the reality of this sacrament. When Christ forgave the paralytic, we are told that the crowd marveled that God gave the power to forgive sins to man. Now, of course, you might well respond by saying, that only works for the God-man. But the point here is that God forgives through human nature. And we see in other places that God can forgive through human natures other than Christ's. Even in the Old Testament, God institutes sin sacrifices, which require at least the general admission of sins to one of the priests, accompanied by offering a sacrifice in the temple. And Christ very clearly confers this power on his apostles. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you retain, they are retained. This idea of retaining sins is what shows us that this power to forgive sins is not just our ability to forgive others who harm us. The power given here is the power to forgive and retain sins before God. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, showing that the authority of the apostles is actually coming from God. One often hears the objection, I don't need any priest as a mediator, I go directly to God. In one sense, this is true, since the sacrament of confession is only strictly necessary for mortal sins, sins that are grave and kill the life of grace in our souls. So for venial sins, one need not go to the sacrament, though that's still encouraged because there are graces to be had. But the objection, while sounding plausible, actually is not scriptural at all. One would be very hard-pressed to find any place in the Old or New Testaments where God doesn't use human mediators, the patriarchs, the prophets, the judges, the kings. You might say that that was just an Old Testament need because of our weakness, and Christ is our one mediator who was foreshadowed by all those others. Okay, but then why did Christ call the apostles, and why did he confer these powers on them? Christ is indeed the one mediator between God and man, but the manner of his mediation is shown to us in the Gospels. He wills to accomplish his redemptive mediation through his human shepherds on earth. If one says, Christ is the one mediator, we don't need anything else, it's like saying, Christ is the one mediator, and that means no one else can be involved or cooperate in redemption and sanctification, despite all the verses where it appears Christ is teaching that very thing. Another objection is, Catholics have confession so they can sin whenever they want and just go to confession. Again, this sounds somewhat accurate because we have to go to confession often, and it's often for the same sins. But we don't believe confession is magic. All the sacraments require proper disposition, and if one goes through all the motions of confession but does not have any contrition, then the sacrament doesn't have its effect. But another practical consideration should be pondered. Do you think you're more likely to commit grave sin if you know you have to confess it out loud to another person, or if you think you can just say you're sorry in your heart to God and leave it at that? The humiliation of articulating our sins before another person is part of the healing effect. Again, this is what we mean by saying Christ sanctifies us in a human way. Unless we fully recognize and express the depth of our sinfulness, we cannot be truly humble. I think most people would be elated, and for the wrong reasons, if they were told that actually you can just confess that stabbing of your neighbor to God in your heart and you're good. So this objection against confession doesn't seem to ring true. A very wise observation made by the soon-to-be Blessed Fulton Sheen is that as the recognition of sin and the use of the sacrament of confession has declined in the past half century or so, we have seen a meteoric rise in psychological complexes and neuroses and the use of therapy instead. When we are not availing ourselves of this great sacrament, which has both psychological and spiritual benefits, we try to find the same benefits in methods which cannot give them and are not channels of grace. Now a brief word on how to make a good confession. As said already, confession is only strictly necessary if one has a mortal sin, a sin regarding a very grave matter committed freely with knowledge of its sinfulness. Nevertheless, the sacrament is the source of many graces even if we don't have any grave sins to confess. We could go to confession every week and obtain great spiritual benefit, as long as we aren't becoming scrupulous, and that means incorrectly judging venial sins to be mortal and non-sinful actions to be sinful. Frequent confession also helps us benefit more from our reception of the Eucharist and ensures that we do not receive unworthily and sacrilegiously. As preparation for confession, we ought to take time in prayer and consider if we have any unconfessed grave sins, either since our last confession or from our past that we now remember we've never confessed. The grave sins should be confessed in number and kind. Number, meaning the actual number of times committed, if known, or at least an approximation. The idea here is to give the priest a sense of how deeply rooted the sin is. And confessing in kind means giving the species of sin, neither overly general, like saying, I broke the eighth commandment, or I failed to be the husband I want to be, nor overly specific, like, well, it all started on a stormy night back in 75, or here are the minute details of my sexual sin. We want to avoid such details because practically it is inconsiderate of the priest and other penitents' time, and because to describe sins in lurid detail can be dangerous for priest and penitent. We just confess the kind of sin it is, briefly and honestly. Father, I lied and defamed my neighbor one time. Or, I intentionally dwell on impure thoughts every day. Or, I spoke blasphemously on two occasions with friends. Or, I watched The Real Housewives of Peoria for 13 hours on Sunday instead of going to Mass. We then express our contrition by saying the act of contrition, and immediately accomplish our penance after we leave, if possible. If we make a habit of this great sacrament, and overcome our pride by humbling ourselves before God, we will see God do great things in our souls.